Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome back to part two of the French Connections Friday edition. It's the 28th day of August, 2006, and I am your host, Daryl Bradford Smith. As usual, we have a great Friday show lined up for you today. Dr. Lorraine Day is here for a second visit, and I've asked Dr. Day to look into a couple of subjects of importance for all of us on the AIDS crisis in the world. And there is only a few people on Earth with the amount of experience that Dr. Day has with treating people with AIDS for other conditions, including this wasting disease and how it came into our circulation. And one of the things I'd like to talk to her about is it's how it found itself so widely spread in Africa, and whether that was intentional, and some of the origins of it, and some of the people that are actually spinning the information on AIDS. So let's go right to our guest. Her name is Lorraine Day, and Dr. Day, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
It's great to have you again here with me, Lorraine. You know, we're fighting the battle, the pitched battle, and boy, we're making some headway. So I told you earlier in a private part of this phone call that the bad guys are worrying that we're getting this this message out there. And guess who we're starting to wake up? And this will warm your heart.
Well, that
26 million crowd of Christian Zionists are beginning to question the nonsense in their Schofield Bibles and in the story. It's starting to filter into their community, Lorraine.
Well, that's wonderful, because those people are in real darkness when they think that the Jews are the chosen people. Nobody is more special than anyone else.
That's
and
right.
And for them to think that they can do anything they want to the Palestinians or the Arabs, and they're still under the approval of God, I'm afraid that they're not correct, and they need to be have their eyes open on that subject.
Well, they have been opened, and we've had the help of people like I told you, a Tex Mars, and in fact, a Ted Pike was on the show earlier in the week. So you're in some very good company this past couple of interviews, and I want to go right into a couple of questions for you. One of them is about a question on the early part of AIDS exposure to the American public. One of the things we've talked about and earlier was the dental scare that went out about 15 years ago down in Florida by a dentist who had given it to several of his clients, and you were involved in that case on the legal side of it. You want to give your information about that?
First, I should tell the people why I would know anything about this. I am an MD, an orthopedic surgeon. I was chief of orthopedic surgery at San Francisco General Hospital, which is a major trauma hospital, the only one in San Francisco. And I was vice chairman and associate professor of orthopedic surgery at the University of California, San Francisco. I was on the faculty there for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
At San Francisco General, as everybody knows, AIDS exploded in San Francisco starting in 1981.
Yeah.
And by the late 80s, I had operated on more AIDS patients than any surgeon in the country, because we had so many of them. And why was I operating on them? Well, they were injured in automobile accidents and violent acts and everything else, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And San Francisco underbelly is a very violent place. And so I took care of all the people who had been shot, stabbed, thrown out of buildings, jumped off the bridges that survived, and all of that.
Yeah.
So there were times that 90% of all of my patients at San Francisco General were either known to have AIDS or were high risk for AIDS. In other words, promiscuous homosexuals or drug users. So I became very knowledgeable about the dangers of AIDS to healthcare workers, and actually went on a real active venture to try to get more protection for healthcare workers, since this was a deadly disease.
Yeah.
Well, because of all the politics, I ended up on a lot of television and radio. And one of the things was that I eventually became was the expert witness for this case that you're now talking about. Back in the late 80s, Dr. Acker was a dentist in Florida.
Yep.
And the public health department said that they found out that Kimberly Bergalis, who was a young woman, had severe AIDS and had no risk factors except her dentist, who was found out to have AIDS. At that time, they were saying you couldn't get AIDS like that from anybody else. You could only get it from sex or from needle use, sharing needles. Well, interestingly enough, they admitted you could get AIDS from blood on needles, but they said only drug addicts could get it that way. The healthcare workers couldn't get it. If they got accidentally stabbed with a needle that had AIDS blood on it, they said, oh, no, you can't get it that way. Well, then, of course, we found out that indeed you could, and I said to them, why would you say that drug addicts can get AIDS from needles and the healthcare workers can't? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And they, of course, it was all politics. They didn't want healthcare workers to be afraid, so they just lied to them. But the answer they gave me was, well, there's not enough AIDS blood on a suture needle in the operating room to give you AIDS. Well, first of all, we use other kinds of needles rather than suture needles in the operating room anyway, the same kind of needles that drug addicts use to shoot up. That's what we give injections with and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, if you can say that there's not enough AIDS virus on a suture needle to give us AIDS, then you obviously know how many AIDS viruses it takes to give you AIDS, right? They said, no, we don't know that. So they were just lying all the way around. Well, it turned out, number one, that we were talking about Dr. Len Horowitz. I need to tell the people that Dr. Len Horowitz is not an MD.
Right.
He is a dentist.
Uh-huh.
And he may also have a PhD degree in something else, but he is not an MD. He admits that he was hired by either the government or the dental associations, I don't know which, to decrease people's fear of going to the dentist after this Kimberly Bergalis case and four or five others.
Yeah.
Well, he says, the story that he puts out in his books is that Dr. Acker, the dentist, who was a homosexual and got AIDS from his homosexual activities, was so angry that the AIDS virus was really only in the homosexual population that he purposely mixed some of his blood with something he injected into the patients, the anesthetic or whatever, and purposely gave Kimberly and others the AIDS virus. Well,
okay.
That is a lie.
Yeah.
And he knows that it's a lie. Now, I've never confronted him on it because I don't know him, but I do know that that is a lie because I was the expert witness for Kimberly Bergalis and the others for that case in court. Now, it never really got to court because based on my deposition, they settled the case because I showed that, indeed, this is the way that it had to have happened because Kimberly had no other risk factors. So the reason that I knew that Horowitz was saying some things that were untrue was that when Dr. Acker, the dentist, found out he had AIDS, he went to the Dental Association in Florida and asked them if it was safe for him to continue practicing.
And you pointed out that that's not the act of somebody who's intentionally trying to infect people.
That is not the act of a person who wants to purposely kill people. Dental Association told him it was okay. Now, I imagine one reason that Horowitz was hired was to get the Dental Association off the hook. Okay? Because they had told him it was okay. The second thing is when they found out that Kimberly had it and thought that Acker had given it to her, Acker wrote a letter to all of his other patients asking them to get tested. And again, that is not the act of a person who wants to purposely kill people.
That's right.
So once Acker died of his AIDS, then it was open season to attribute all sorts of bad motivation to him. This did not happen. And so that made me realize that Horowitz wasn't being totally truthful about the things that he was saying about AIDS. Now, he talks a lot also about vaccinations, and he gives a lot of good information about how vaccinations are harmful, they don't work, but he never gets to the root cause of who is responsible. He'll get to, you know, public health department, the government. And what people have to realize is that, as you know by his name, Horowitz is Jewish.
That's right.
He claims to be a Christian. I saw him, I have a video of him talking to a Christian audience at the Power of Prophecy, not Power of Prophecy, but one of these prophecy groups. And he is sweating. Now, this is a man who has who has been on national television, radio, has spoken to large groups. He was sweating, and he even admitted, "I am so nervous." Well, I'm sure it was he was nervous because he was masquerading as a Christian, when in fact he doesn't appear to be a Christian. I think he's still part of the Jewish cabal of disinformation.
Well, you know, I talked to one of the leading researchers in the world on crypto-Zionism, crypto-Jews, and the Donmars out of Turkey, of course, who led that Armenian massacre and took over the... I mean, this crypto-Judaism goes back for 1,000 years or more, including into the Muranos of Spain and the Inquisition. So to be a crypto-Jew in the world is not a bizarre thing. In fact, it's one of their modus operandi. It's one of the things that they do.
That's correct. And, of course, you'll notice also that he was given access to virtually all of the archives of the U.S. government.
Mm.
Now, you or I could not get that access.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'd give it to me, huh?
Right, and to me, you see. And they have, and then he's been invited to Oxford, as I understand. Mm-hmm. You don't get invited to Oxford if you talk like you and I talk.
That's right.
They don't do that. So the other thing was National Public Radio, NPR, is Zionist Jewish run.
That's right.
It's supposed to be public, but it is run by the Zionist Jews. They would never have my book on AIDS as a promotion for their fundraising. They had his book on, which means he's part of them.
That's right.
You see, so all of these things tell you clearly that he indeed is an infiltrator and is very popular in the alternative medicine and the Christian community, when indeed he's giving some good information, and then he leads you astray. Instead of saying the Zionist Jews are behind this, he leads you to the CIA or the FBI or the government in general. Well, what he doesn't tell you is that our government in the United States is run from behind the scenes by the Zionist Jews.
Well, that's right, and we know that from the research, and it's not
right.
This is not a theory, ladies and gentlemen. You all know, listening to this show, this is not a theory. We've proven it without exception that's the fact. In fact, I would like to go now to the origins of this particular disease, because it seems like that, of course, the community of people in the world who have been most affected by this, and I have friends of mine, at the highest level of government at Lesotho, whose country actually has almost been completely wiped out. It's a nightmare. My friend tells me about the AIDS virus there. I was getting my MBA with one of the top government officials in the country, and he said, "You have no idea how badly southern part of Africa has been hit by this, but all of Africa." Seems to me that it's done a great turn for these people, because it's thrown these countries into more confusion and more problems, and it's set them up to be fleeced by the world power structure. In other words, their commodity-based economies are being wiped out, they're being robbed wholesale, and their populations are being decimated. It's awful. In some countries, I think there's a 40% rate of AIDS, isn't there?
Yes, and in fact, the countries of Africa are being purposely annihilated so that the New World Order gurus, who are really the Zionist Jews, can rape the country of all of its natural resources without worrying about getting in trouble with the people. Also, they have installed their own puppet leaders, such as Mugabe in Zimbabwe,
yep.
who is really purposely destroying his own people.
Yeah, they're not only are they dying from AIDS, but they're dying now of starvation. And of course, we can look up into the Chad, Sudan region of Darfur, and we also know that these Arab marauders that they're claiming are killing these citizens had nothing to do with Arab marauders. Those are all orchestrated by Zionism as well, because they found huge amounts of mineral reserves and oil under the desert sands of Darfur.
Right.
But we also can look into Rwanda. They needed a depopulation in the Ugandan, Rwandan region, and of course they allowed that to happen. And we look at the UN's participation in that, and you want to just be sick to your stomach. But But the fact is, we can even look further, Lorraine. We've got the number one inoculator of people in Africa, and you've talked about these vaccines being Bill and Melinda Gates.
Yes.
And they're over there poisoning these people wholesale. And what they found out when they checked some of these vaccines, they had birth control elements within them that were given women, making women sterile.
Right. Well, Bill Gates, of course, is also a Jew. People don't realize that Bill Gates is a Jew, but he's Jewish. And he's part of this Zionist Jewish cabal.
Yeah.
And the AIDS virus was man-made. It's I have the document. It's House Bill 15090, the House Subcommittee on Defense Appropriations, July 1, 1963. By the way, anybody who wants that, I have written a book called AIDS, What the Government Isn't Telling You, which is fully referenced. I wrote it when I was active in the in taking care of AIDS patients, and it's fully documented, and it's just as pertinent today as when I wrote it. The only two things that I didn't know was that AIDS was man-made and that it was part of a much larger plan for population control and the destruction of not only Africa but the rest of the world as well. And with that book, if you go to my website at www.drday.com, that's drday.com, that book is available, plus this document I'm telling you about, House Bill 15090, plus the 1963 congressional record, which tells that they're going to promote homosexuality and degenerative behavior as normal, healthy, alternate lifestyles. This was in 1963. This was the plan of the New World Order to get people into this lifestyle, which was going to be a very self-destructive lifestyle. And, and other 44 other things they were going to do. These were the communist goals for America, and communism came out of the Jewish Talmud. Communism, the whole Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, was run by the Zionist Jews.
That's
so,
right.
So anyway, House Bill 15090, the House Subcommittee on Defense Appropriations is interviewing a Dr. MacArthur. Dr. MacArthur was at that time head of biological warfare for the government at Fort Detrick, Maryland. And so they asked him, they said, is it possible for you to produce an organism that does not now exist, that is totally intractable to all methods of treatment? In other words, you can't treat it in any way, and would destroy a human being's immune system.
Yep.
So he responds, yes, we could do that. And they said, are you working on it now? And he said, no, this is 1963. And they said, are you not working on it because of lack of interest or lack of funding? And his response was certainly not lack of interest. And so they said, would you come back to this committee and tell us how long it would take and how much it would cost, and then they repeat, to produce an organism, a microorganism that does not now exist, that would destroy a human being's immune system and for which there would be no cure. So he comes back at a later date, and this is all on the document, and he says it would take about $10 million and 5 to 10 years to produce that. Well, we know that that was funded. And so if you talk about from 1963, when it was they were talking about this, and you know that the incubation period for AIDS is somewhere between 5 and 10 years, so you get 5 or 10 years to make the virus, and then 5 or 10 years for the incubation, that gets us to 1981.
Right.
And AIDS exploded.
Well, now, I got another question for you. It seems like there was an explosion, an explosion of hepatitis viruses at the same time. Were these same people dallying in hepatitis virus and coming up with new forms of this particular disease? Because
first of all, let's talk about how they got it into Africa. Zimbabwe and other places in Central Africa at that time were, many countries in Central Africa were not members of the United Nations, so they were picked. Not only because they were black and because they were Africans, but they were picked because they had no voice in stopping this. And they went down there and said, we've got to inoculate you, vaccinate you against smallpox. Well, the information is reliable that the AIDS virus was in the smallpox vaccinations. And, of course, if you have bad food and you have bad living conditions and then you get infected deliberately with an injection of something like this, then this can cause this terrible wasting disease. If the map of where they did the vaccinations, this was done through the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, and if you look at that map of that vaccination plan, you will see that it is virtually identical with where AIDS is the hardest hitting in Africa right now.
Okay.
So that's why we have very strong evidence that indeed they injected these people purposely with this virus. Now, hepatitis B is still not a problem in the general population.
Right.
The incidence of hepatitis B in the homosexual community is up to 95%.
Okay.
The incidence of hepatitis B in the non-homosexual population is way less than 5%.
Okay.
The chances of a child getting hepatitis B is almost non-existent, and yet they are forcing these hepatitis B vaccinations on these infants before they leave the hospital, which is a very destructive, terrible thing to do to these babies when they are virtually at no risk of getting the disease. So this is a dastardly act by our government to destroy these babies' immune systems, to inject them with all sorts of things that are in the hepatitis B vaccination, such as formaldehyde, other microorganisms.
They got mercury as a carrying agent to stabilize it, don't they? Mercury stabilizers?
Yeah, that will cause brain damage.
Yeah.
Will cause other kinds of problems in these little children.
Mm-hmm.
So AIDS was a plan, and of course, the homosexuals have had some idea that they were purposely infected with AIDS through the first initial hepatitis B vaccinations also. And we have evidence that that is true, because they knew that the homosexual population, because of their promiscuity, was a very sick community. I mean, physically sick, because they were using poppers with their sexual liaisons. They were using these kinds of drugs that they call poppers. And they were doing all sorts of other drugs. Plus, when you have multiple sexual partners, and there are many homosexuals who have over 100 partners a year, and sometimes 1,000. Well, when you are contaminated with that many other microorganisms from other people in sexual acts, you become a very physically ill person. So this was a community just waiting for a terrible disease to happen to it.
They were an incubator for this mess.
That's correct. And they knew then that there would be bisexual men who would get it into the heterosexual community. And you see, on one hand, the government is promoting homosexuality because it's part of their population control mechanism. Homosexuals do not have children unless a woman has artificial insemination. So they are promoting homosexuality. First of all, they're trying to destroy the family, because that is the bedrock of any country that's going to do well, is the family. So they're trying to destroy that. Plus, in the very highest levels of the Illuminati and the other secret societies that run this country and the world, they promote homosexuality because they marry within their domain. In other words, they frequently marry distant relatives to keep the money and the control in a very few families. And then they don't get divorced, but they have sexual liaisons, and they encourage them not to have those sexual liaisons with women, because they will then maybe have children by these women who will try to claim some of the inheritance. So they encourage them to have sexual liaisons with men.
Ooh. You know, see, now here's the interesting thing, because when I try to get my message into the Christian community, the difficulty is this. It's hard for anybody with a normal brain, a normal brain to wrap their belief system around this type of sickness. I mean, when I heard this for the first time, Lorraine, I poo-pooed it because it sounded so sick that I didn't think anybody could do something like that. I mean, I said, yeah, okay. I mean, you know, there are sickos out there, but aren't we, don't we have most of them institutionalized? Well, fact of the matter is it's taken me some time to actually come to the realization that these people don't think like me and that I have to suspend my application of morals or my application of belief systems even to just in order to understand what they're doing. Because I can't even wrap my brain around these kind of actions from people.
You know, you're absolutely right, and it's interesting to understand that they depend on the mindset of Christians and those raised in Christian countries who would not even think in that way. In fact, Harold Rosenthal was a young man who was the administrative assistant to Senator Jacob Javits of New York.
Yeah, we've got his whole speech on our website.
Javits was Jewish, Rosenthal was Jewish, and he said in one of those interviews, "We depend on the Christian mindset not to be able to understand how people could be so evil as we are." And that's the way we get away with it, because people will say no one could be that wicked.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the Christian mindset better wake up and understand that there is a lot of evil in the world. And you see, if you look at British history, homosexuality has gone on for a long time, way back to the old kings and all of that. This is part of this Illuminati upper level control the world mentality.
Yeah, well, what happened was the Jews came in, were reinvited into Britain, and they actually married into a lot of this aristocracy, and then they took the British Empire and spread themselves out around the world.
Well, the world is run from the city of London by the Rothschilds, who are Zionist Jews, and the rest of the Zionist Jews. It is run, the world is run today from the city of London. When I say the city of London, I'm referring to a 1 square mile area in the middle of the city, where when the Queen, who is also, by the way, a Zionist Jew, the Queen is a Zionist Jew, and so is Prince Philip, and that's why they're all into this sustainable society, which is population control. And so they, when Queen Elizabeth goes to this 1 mile square area in London, to the city of London, she bows to them. She is only a figurehead.
Well, what we've also discovered, though, Lorraine, in our research is there is a spiritual arm to this conspiracy, and it's the Lubavitchers that are running that. And this Shabbat Lubavitch group, who are their spiritual guides in this, and they're the Kabbalists. They're the workers behind the scene of Zohar and the rest of the Talmudic tradition, and then of course the day to day operations of controlling finances and agribusiness and water companies through Suez, Lyonnaise, Desaux, and all these other companies is done through their 1 square mile London office, and of course you can see that in their media control as well. I mean, all of this stuff has a plan behind it, oddly, and to, you know, when people tell, I get emails all the time, and they say to me, "It's the Black Pope, Lorraine," or "It's the." You ought to hear some of this nonsense, and I say to myself, "Boy, have they done a good job of mucking up the minds of the people?"
Wait, it's not totally muck, because the Black Pope is Hans Kaldenbach, who is also a Danish Jew, and the previous Pope, Pope John, was a Polish Jew, and the present Pope is a Jew. All right?
Ratzinger,
so
yep.
What Catholicism is it is Jewishness, Zionist Judaism, wrapped up in Christian clothes.
Here's the interesting thing about that. See, that wasn't always the case. They infiltrated the church
during the Spanish Inquisition.
That's right. And came and they were filtered back into the church, and they began their pogroms within the church structure. Now there are still, you know, elements within the church that have control, but it's still, they've lost. Well,
from the Vatican level. The whole Catholic Church is controlled from behind the scenes by the Zionist Jews. And so that is a great cover the great cover, because you see what's happening with ecumenism is the Protestant community is being encouraged to hold hands with Rome, with Catholicism. People like Dr. Bill Bright, who was head of Campus Crusade for Christ, which was the largest Christian ministry in the world, and who was a friend of mine before he died recently. He was a friend of mine, and he's the one who orchestrated the agreement between the evangelicals and the Catholic Church. And I said to him, why in the world did you do that? Well, you see, he didn't have a clear view of what was going on. They had given him all sorts of honors, and then a priest called him up, or a bishop, or a cardinal, or somebody called him, could you help us with this? And he thought, well, it's a good idea for all of us to be friends. But what you're doing is you're getting in bed with the very people who are going to want to destroy you.
Well, that's exactly right. And
when they talk about the Black Pope is, see, because they can, the Zionist Jews, control Freemasonry.
Yes, they do.
They control the Council on Foreign Relations.
They do.
The Trilateral Commission.
The Bilderberger Conference is theirs.
So
the Davos meeting is theirs.
They work every angle. And so the Catholic Church is all part of this. Now, the rank and file Catholics down at the lower level there, they can be good people. They don't know what's going on. And some of the people even at the mid-level don't know what's going on. But at the highest level, this is control.
Well, can I tell you also that they left the last pope in his position, dribbling in the microphone, drooling into a dribble cup, and what they did is they wanted to emasculate the reverence of that position and turn it into turn him into a joke. And of course, you'll remember Saturday Night Live stuff. I remember here on French television, they would have the guignols, which is these puppets that would come out, and they'd have the pope as a guignol, as a puppet, who's got drool coming out of his mouth, and he's going, rah, rah, rah. And what they were trying to do is to try to destroy the qualities of reverence that was once part of that Roman Catholic hierarchy, so that there is no longer any adhesion to any... do you understand what I mean? They're trying to make a mess out of it, a mockery out of the whole thing.
Let me tell you, people get confused, not you, but other people get confused about if the church is really doing that, if the Catholic Church has been infiltrated, then why are these other things going on? Let me reiterate for the people listening that here's the way they work. They always promote both sides of the issue to get everybody confused. They have infiltrated the Catholic Church, and on the inside, they are promoting and giving approval for homosexuality. But on the other hand, then they are exposing. They're promoting homosexuality to degenerate the church structure. Then, on the other hand, they expose it to destroy the people's faith in their own religion. Okay? It's the same way that happens in our government. They have put George Bush in there, who is nothing more than a puppet. He is not a Christian. He is skull and bones. He has given his allegiance to Satan, and he is masquerading as a Christian. So they put him in, and then they start showing what a bumbler he is, and how bad he is, because they want people to lose faith in their own leaders so they will get them softened up to have the United Nations control this country and give our allegiance to them. So they infiltrate an organization. They promote both sides of the issue to get people confused unless you know what their plan is.
That's right. It's a Hegelian dialectic, and they create the mayhem, then they come in with their own solutions, or they blame the people they want to have discolored or destroyed reputation-wise. It is, they're masters of deception, and they do this so, they do it in every endeavor they take part in. And if you even take a look at how they've tried to discredit people trying to come out with the truth. Do you know, Lorraine, that somebody's actually started circulating that I'm a pedophile on the internet because I live in France?
Well, you know,
and that if anybody who would live in France would have to be, they're saying.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly enough, I see this once. Okay, I see it five times. I said to myself, this is an actually concerted effort from somebody to start marrying the idea that anybody who lives in France shouldn't be listened to because they're sick pedophiles and the rest of it. And, of course, this is part of the M.O.
Well, listen, I have been, they have been after me for almost 20 years now. So I know very well their methods. I have been on virtually every national television show. I have been called all sorts of names. They try to discredit me in every way they can. This is what they do, because they don't want to deal with the issues. And so then they try to destroy, attack, and destroy the credibility of the messenger. And this is right out of the Jewish Talmud. This is what they say, and right out of the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which
yep.
they say is a hoax and a fraud. Well, all you have to do is read the protocols of the Elders of Zion and see how the Zionist Jews are behaving, and you will see that it's a fulfillment of those protocols. This
is
what they do. This is part of the territory when you speak the truth.
Yeah. So. Well, I don't, you know, I know who and what I am, so I don't worry about it. But at the same time, it tells me clearly what lengths they're willing to go to and what methods they're willing to use to win. And what I've discovered is they'll use any and all.
Well, for 7 or 8 years when I was speaking out on the AIDS epidemic, I was trashed in some major newspaper every single week by people who said, attributed all sorts of things to me that I never said and never called me for an interview on any of the articles. My supporters would say to me, you know, you've got to set these people right. And I would say, I'm not even going to comment on it, because if they wanted to be set right, they would have called me. And I will just, they'll just keep me busy responding to them and telling them where they're wrong, and I can't get more new information out, so I just ignore it. By the way, I am posting on another one of my websites. I have two websites. One is drday.com, drday.com.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is goodnewsaboutgod.com, www.goodnewsaboutgod, all one word, all small letters, .com. And on that one, I've got political, religious, and health information, and I am posting today an article about impeach Bush, don't waste your time. Okay?
Right.
Because Bush doesn't run things, so if anybody's interested, they can go and see that. And many other articles, I talk about bird flu, how bird flu is a hoax, and how the government's going to use it to cause an epidemic that would not normally occur.
Well, I've discovered, because I have looked into this, and I have actually talked to some military doctors here in France, there is something killing the birds, and there is something destroying the agriculture. Now, I got to tell you, I live in an agricultural region, Lorraine. They are doing a job on poultry farmers, and they're destroying a lot of rural communities with this. But there's something out there that they've created. I mean, excuse me, how hard would it be for them to find some kind of bird flu and just jack it up and get it out into the bird community?
All,
I mean,
first of all, just let's go back. Let's go back a few notches. Mad cow disease.
Yep.
Where did mad cow disease come from? Mad cow disease came from mad sheep disease, which is called scrapie.
Scrapie, that's right.
They were winding up the dead sheep that had died of scrapie, and they were giving it to the cows. All right?
Yep.
So then
yep.
we go back one notch further. We say, where did mad sheep disease come from? Scrapie. Well, you didn't have to manufacture it. You know how sheep got scrapie?
From deer.
No. Both deer and sheep are vegetarians.
Yeah.
When you feed them animal products, they will get sick. All right? So they have been force-fed and farm-fed, and they've been fed what they call these protein pellets, which are ground-up dead animals. They're ground-up dead animals from roadkill, from euthanized animals at the pound. They grind those up and put it into what they call protein pellets, and they're feeding that to the sheep. Well, you take a vegetarian animal, like a deer or a sheep or a cow, and you feed them animal products, they will get sick and their immune system will be destroyed. So they can bring this disease on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to even manufacture it. It's caused from factory farming.
Yeah.
All right? And so that is also the way chickens could have gotten this disease, which is not bird flu, but they're factory farmed in these, they're not even, don't even have any space to move around. They're all sick because they're, it used to take, it used to take something like 8 months to get a chicken to weigh so many pounds, and now they do it in half the time, and the chicken weighs twice as much because they're giving them growth hormone and antibiotics because they're all sick, and they're feeding them ground-up dead animals with pesticides and everything in it. And so these animals are sick to begin with. Perfect. They can call it bird flu. All right, whatever they want to call it, but it is not a bird flu that can be transmitted to other birds. Other birds are getting it because they are force-fed and force-farmed the same way. And this is not following the migration patterns at all. The people who are well into that know that it's not following the migratory patterns of birds. And so this is a perfect way, and I have a long article about that on my website, the Bird Flu Hoax. This is a great way for them, number one, to be able to wipe out all the chicken and turkey flocks of almost every country in the world. Well, what does that do? That helps cause famines.
Yeah, that's right.
Eventually wipe out all the cows, because the cows are all going to be sick. And the sheep, because the sheep are all going to be sick. So you've got a wonderful way, according to their ideas, to cause famines throughout the world. Okay?
Well, I got to tell you, it's devastating. And here's the other side of this, Lorraine. And, I mean, this is a different issue, a sidebar issue. But, you know, rural communities rely on their ability to get to town to buy their equipments and things. I mean,
they're going to be quarantined.
Well, here's the interesting thing is I'm looking at my neighbors and friends here with the price of gasoline doubling, and it's unbelievable. We everyone lives here from month to month, and farmers don't make a lot of money anymore. I mean, the family farm is dead, and agro farms, they're devastating central France right now. They're killing this place, and people are looking at each other going, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, they can't keep their farm going. They can't pay their bills. They can't get to town because gas is too much. Their flocks of birds are being killed. It's nightmarish, and I'm watching it to take shape here.
Well, it's a repeat of what happened in the Ukraine. Anybody who wants to know, the Zionist Jews through the Bolshevik Revolution took over Russia and purposely starved the people in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Who were what were called the White Russians. They were actually of German heritage who had been asked by the Tsar to come to Ukraine to do the farming because the Germans were such good farmers. And so they came over there, but they hated them because they were not Jewish, and so they just starved them all out. Millions,
yeah.
Probably up to between 80 and 100 million of them, they starved to death.
By destroying their agricultural sector completely.
Well, that's right. What they did was, first of all, if you were a successful farmer, you were called a kulak, and then you were destroyed because you were somehow the bourgeois, and we had to get rid of them. And now the farmers are, see, what's happening with the farmers now in America is they are forced to, first of all, buy new seeds every year because the New World Order, through a few corporations, have patented all the seeds, and they have made things that what they call Terminator seeds, which don't these fruits. Do
Conagra and Monsanto are the two big ones, with DuPont involved as well, and Dow
and
Chemical as well.
Midland, yeah.
Yeah, and that's right, and ADM.
They are wiping out the farmers because they don't have enough money to buy new seeds every year. Secondly, they are told what they have to put on their crops on the land, and they have to buy that from these same organizations, or else they won't have any place to sell their food to. I have a DVD of a couple people who are in the orchard business in America, and they're showing how they are just destroying the apple growers and everybody else, the fruit growers of America, because they get into debt, and then they lower the price so much, so low that they'll pay, that they can't even pay to grow their crop the next year. And so the markup, when it gets to the grocery store, is something like 1,000%.
Yep.
So They're just running them all out of business.
Well, you know, Lorraine, it goes even further. I mean, and I uncovered through research the ownership of the water systems of America, and they're owned by two companies, one of them called Vivendi Water, which changed its name to Veolia, and the other one is Suez Lyonnais des Eaux. And both of these companies, they own U.S. Filter. And this company is owned lock, stock, and barrel through by Rothschild interests.
Well, yes, you know they're going to divert the Colorado River too, which supplies a lot of the water for America. The Colorado River happens to go right now through a special ranch in Colorado, a huge ranch that used to be owned by Maurice Strong, who is a big mucky-muck in the United Nations and is all in favor of population control and was in charge of the Earth Summit where they were talking about population control.
Mm-hmm.
It is now owned by his partner, a man named Belzberg from Canada. Well, interestingly enough, I have talked to Belzberg because Belzberg one day I live out in the desert in Southern California near Palm Springs, which is a resort area.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I were selling our house. We were going to buy a different house. And who came to look at our house but Belzberg? Belzberg, when he was going through the house, we were running a pirated tape. Now, pirated only because someone was able to sneak into the Earth Summit and tape all of this, which he wasn't supposed to be there. And we had a copy of that tape, and we were making a copy, not because it was copyrighted, it was just a tape that this guy had filmed when he was in there. And we were making a copy of it. It was showing on our television set when Belzberg came there, and he said, and it was talking about Maurice Strong and all that, and he says, "What is this?" And we tried to turn it off real quick. He says, "That's my ranch." Well, this ranch has temples to all different faiths, Hindus, Buddhists. It's an ecumenical ranch. It's a huge ranch, and the Colorado River runs right through it, and they plan to stop that Colorado River there and divert it so no people can get water. That's the plan. And so Belzberg was coming around in my house watching this, and he says, "That's my partner, Maurice Strong."
When I'm looking at what's going on right now, and I'm watching right now, the dollar is tanking before our eyes. It's at 126 to the euro. This is a huge drop in its purchasing power worldwide. But this is only the beginning. And what I've explained to many people on this program is that what's going to happen is we're going to have a downturn that's going to be catastrophic. It's going to knock people over like nothing has ever done in their in anybody alive's history and our memory. And the facts are, it's beginning now. It's starting now. They've had a lot of the periphery planning underway, but they're really starting. The dollar's implosion as a world currency and as a reserve currency is really the beginning of the end for everybody's safety.
Right.
I mean, so the security of the country is gone.
Right. Well, that's why they're not announcing the size of the money supply anymore. They just announced that here in America.
That's right.
It's not going to tell M3. Us anymore because they're printing money as fast as the printing presses can turn it out, which will cause mega inflation. And
yep.
It will make people's money useless, just as it was in the early 1900s in Germany, where, you know, money was left around on the floor because it couldn't buy anything.
That's right.
So that's exactly where we're going now. So, the whole plan for depopulation of the Earth, and if you go to the Elberton, Georgia Guidestones, anybody wants to go on the Internet, and by the way, I have, if you go to my website at goodnewsaboutgod.com and click on the political information where it says coming soon, where I already have some of it up now, on population control, you will see all the information about the Georgia Guidestones. In Elberton, Georgia, right near the border of South Carolina in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
there was a huge monument like Stonehenge built about 20 years ago or so. I guess it was 1979. And it was done all secretly. It's a huge monument. And it was very expensive. And it was all done secretly. And it says that the population of the Earth must be reduced to 500 million people. Now, there are 6 billion people on the Earth right now. That means about 90% of the population has to be destroyed. And so the ways they're going to do it, I also have up on the website, which is abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, diseases, man-made diseases like AIDS and SARS and the bird flu hoax and vaccinations and all of these other things. That's the way they're going to do it, hospice and even chemotherapy and radiation. By the way, for those listening, I had what was diagnosed as terminal cancer. Even though I'm an Orthodox physician, I refused chemotherapy and radiation and got well by natural methods, and that information is on my website, too. So they're going to do this, and the Georgia Guidestones, you say, why were they placed in Elberton, Georgia? That is a town of only 5,000. Well, the answer is it's on a ley line. Ley lines, and that's spelled L-E-Y, ley lines are considered mystical lines that go around the earth in various directions. Washington, D.C., which was put together, of course, by the Masons and has all sorts of Masonic imprints on the city, the way it's laid out, is on a ley line. Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Boston, and New York are all on the same ley line, which is the same ley line as Stonehenge is on in England. Okay, so these are all occultic things that the New World Order, the Zionist Jews, Freemasons, Illuminati, all of these are tied together. And so Elberton, Georgia Guidestones, the Georgia Guidestones, are on a ley line. Now, I haven't had enough time. I just found this out recently. I haven't found out if they are on the same ley line as Washington, D.C. I think they're on a different one. But you see, Buckingham Palace is also on a ley line. Comes right out the center of Buckingham Palace. Okay, so
well, who decided on these ley lines? I mean, what's the criteria for this stuff?
These ley lines are mystical, you know, like they have put together for the body these various meridians, which they say are acupuncture and acupressure meridian lines in the body.
Mm.
Actually occultic as well. But, I mean, this whole system is occultic. Well, the occult has also decided that there are these various energy lines throughout the world. And so they have placed their important structures on what they have perceived as energy lines and occultic lines.
I think it sounds like booga booga to me.
Well, the thing is, I don't have any evidence that any of it is real. But they believe it. They believe it. And so, just like the Da Vinci Code, they believe that. The Merovingian bloodline, the monarchies of Europe all subscribe to the Merovingian bloodline, that they are descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Now, yet they're all Zionist Jews, and they hate Jesus, and yet they want to be his offspring. Well, this is all gobbledygook. It's not true, but they believe it. So it's important to know about it because they believe it.
Well, you know, that goes beyond my expertise and research. I can tell you this, though. The waking up of America is not necessarily going to be in time. And I'm wondering if it's going to take hardship for people to open their eyes. That may be a blessing in disguise. I hate to say that suffering is going to mature our society or to snap us back to reality, but it seems like, based upon my observations of people's capacity to understand these facts, it may take that kind of event for these people to wake up.
Yeah, there's going to be terrible suffering in America.
Yeah.
They're trying to reduce America to a third world country status. That's why they're having open immigration at the borders. And the point is to destroy our economy, to make us sick with all these vaccinations and all the drugs that that people all over the world are being given for their supposed illnesses. And when they do that, the other thing is they're destroying our army by the vaccinations. All this depleted uranium in Iraq and various other countries that are not only killing the people of Iraq, but they're killing our own soldiers. They plan to weaken our military and the military of everyone around the world. So when the Israeli commandos come in to take over, we will have an army that has been decimated. and they will be easy to take over.
Well, they're going to get a very rude awakening when they come dropping into any place I know people, because a lot of people I know, you know, are not going to roll over for this kind of stuff.
That's why they deputized the gangs. They allowed the gangs in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and various other large cities in America to flourish. What they do is when they have encouraged them to flourish, then the leaders of the gangs rise to the top. And in America, most people don't realize that these gangs have been deputized. And in America, they still have, people are allowed to have guns. And so they're going to send in these deputized gangs as the first run at the people, because they know a lot of them will be shot by the people. But the gangs are going to be allowed to go in and rape women and take anything from the house that they want. That's going to be their pay. And a lot of them are going to be destroyed because the people will resist. But the government doesn't want to send in their best trained troops for the first assault. So they're going to send in the gangs, the deputized gangs. And then when a bunch of them get killed, then a lot of the people who have guns will be disarmed, or they will be killed. And so then after that, then they'll send in the police, and then after that, the military, and then after that, the Green Berets and whatever, you see.
Well, I don't think the American military is going to fight against its own public. I don't think they'll do it.
Well, they're not going to be here. The military is not going to be here. They're going to be in other countries. I have a list of state by state, the other countries' armies that are going to be ruling us at that time when they finally declare martial law.
Well, where are you getting this information from? I haven't seen this.
Oh, I have that, and I'm going to be putting it up on my website. I have, from the Department of the Army, I have a list of state by state the troops from which country are going to be controlling us. I have
really?
That document, and I will be putting it up again on my website. If you go to goodnewsaboutgod.com and click on the political area, I will be putting that up. It's just, I've got so much information to put up there, it just takes me a little time to get it up.
Well, you know, Lorraine, we've talked about so many subjects today, but we did clear up some of the what we had put our eye on, which was talking about the African continent and its depopulation and the reasons for it. And the fact is, people now are aware where they can get the additional information from on your website. And you know, this battle is anything but won. But I certainly feel personally that we are making a difference. And if I didn't think that were true, I wouldn't continue.
Well, knowledge is power. People need to know. If a person is standing on the railroad track and the train is coming, it would be nice if someone told them that the train is coming.
Mm.
That's what we're trying to do. There is a way to get off of the railroad track, and I discuss that on my website. There is an answer, and I discuss that on my website, again, at goodnewsaboutgod.com, because there you can do lots of things to protect your family, certainly health-wise. You don't have to get these diseases. Just don't get vaccinated and start eating right and living right and exercising and taking care of your health. During the 1918 flu epidemic, which supposedly went around the world and killed 20 million people, not a single person got it who was not already vaccinated. And that information is also on my website under the bird flu hoax article.
Well, so what you're saying is that there's a very big real chance that when they rev up the fear of bird flu enough, people will line up for an inoculation that's
right.
actually
that's
going to
give
them...
give them the disease.
Okay.
So
that makes sense because, you know, that's exactly what they did for depopulating Africa. They got them to line up for an inoculation and then made all the women sterile.
That's right. Plus many other things, not just the sterility. There were many other bad things in those vaccines. Now the Centers for Disease Control in America is building a super vaccine that has about 8 different diseases in it. See, by the very nature of vaccines, we've known in medicine for a long time, you can't make a safe vaccine because you've got to have the live bacteria or virus in it. Well, then, obviously, people can get the disease. What American medicine at my level didn't know, and I was very high up in academic medicine, but doctors are all low level compared to the Illuminati plans for the world. And so here I was taught and, in fact, encouraged people to get vaccinated. I gave many vaccinations myself to people. I was vaccinated. I had my children vaccinated. And then I found out this is bad. You don't want to do this. This is a terrible thing to do to people. Vaccinations do not work. They are not effective, and they are not safe, and they're giving lots of people disease. After the polio, before the polio vaccine came in the 1950s, before polio, the incidence of polio in America had dropped already by 95% because of better sanitation, because of better nutrition. It had dropped 95%. Once the vaccines were introduced, the slope of the curve, as how it was dropping, did not change. In other words, it kept going down, but it had nothing to do with the vaccinations. And in fact, after the vaccinations were given, virtually 100% of everybody who got polio after that got it from the vaccination. But they just named it something different. Instead of calling it polio, they called it they called it something like aseptic spinal meningitis. All right, which then they had a different name, and so then it wasn't polio, it was the same disease. They just named it different so people wouldn't know they were getting polio from the vaccination.
My cousin did some research on polio, and she said it is a history of criminal sickness from our elite medical associations that she couldn't even imagine before she did the research. And she said it's clear as a nose on your face that these people were out after destruction of the population.
Well, besides, it's a great big money maker. I mean,
yeah,
they make billions of dollars on the polio vaccine alone. Way back in the 50s, they made something like, I can't remember, I think I have it on my website, they made something like $3 billion in 1 year. That's at 1950 standards. I mean, it's a huge profit margin there. And so the more vaccines they can force on people, and then since they control the government and the pharmaceutical companies are almost all owned by Zionist Jews, and they have no conscience whatsoever. And I want to say there are some good Jewish people who are not involved in these sort of things. I'm talking
yep.
about the Zionist Jews who have a plan to destroy the world. And they, and if there are Jewish people listening, I want to tell you, they have no scruples about destroying you either.
That's
None
right.
at all. They are only out for themselves. And they don't mind sacrificing Jewish people at the lower levels at all. And yet they are controlling the Jews by propaganda.
Well, you know, this whole thing that we've been working on for so long and all these different evidences that we can bring forward, much of what we share every day on this broadcast especially is trying to give people encouragement to take action, because it is in the action that we're going to defeat these people. And the kinds of actions that I've been asking them to do, Lorraine, is to post some of the information that we've discovered about these people, names, who they are, what they're doing, where they're working from, what kind of organizations they ascribe to, all of the different parts of it, because at the moment it's not an armed struggle, it is an information struggle.
That's right.
And so of course right now part of the war that we're fighting is informational. And we need to get people on board with getting this stuff out to others. And it's going to be a game of numbers for a while until we can, you know, really get some I think critical mass. And the critical mass I think is going to be in the 40, 50, 60,000 range. And I think we're not that far away from getting a critical number.
Well, it's true that the way in America, don't spend your time. Waste your time writing to your congressman or your senator. It doesn't do any good. They're just going to deep fix it. So don't do that. But giving information to your friends, your neighbors, putting it on websites, getting it disseminated around to the population, that's the way you can do some good. And then you can also find out information to preserve yourself and your family, such as from these diabolic diseases that they're spreading around. You'll know you don't want to get vaccinated for any reason whatsoever. And how, if you do get sick, how to get well, that's on my website. There are a lot of things you can do to protect yourself. And so
yeah.
you cannot depend on the leaders of your country. They have been bought by the Zionist Jews.
I agree. Well, you know, this has been a great opportunity for my listeners to hear a second broadcast with you, Lorraine, and I want to thank you for doing this Friday broadcast with us. The battle rages. We're here, and I want to thank you for participating.
Well,
it's as usual. It's been a great interview, and I urge everybody out there to go to Dr. Day's websites, both of them, and look at the things that she's researched and take a look at her evidence. And do your due diligence, because part of what Lorraine and I both do is we just put what we find out there and say, now you go out and make sure you feel safe and comfortable with our research, because
this is not about
my opinion ruling your world. It's about me providing you with the means to find out for yourself.
Right. Check it out.
That's right.
We put it out there, and we believe that we have the truth, and it's your job to check it out.
Well, thanks again, and have a great Friday and a wonderful weekend, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Lorraine Day has been working on this stuff for decades, and especially this, you know, the AIDS information about Africa. Now, take a look for yourselves. The activities in Africa and the way that AIDS has devastated that continent, and how multinational corporations have used the conditions in that continent to exploit the nations there, the situation is dire for these people, and by and large they've been sold out by their leadership, just like we have in America. But pay attention to this, because it is really a harbinger of what's to come for the rest of us here in the United States and Europe. So this is the Friday broadcast of the French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and I want you to all be well. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.